The following podcast is not relating to my teachings and work at Del Cid Medical Center and is for entertainment purposes only.
Welcome to another episode of Life of Flow. As we have normally been incredibly successful in lining people, today, for some odd, weird reason, maybe the planets are unbalanced, maybe there's weird forces on Earth, there is not somebody readily available to speak to us. So we reached out to our beautiful audience in the last few weeks and we said, ask us any question.
Okay.
I thought they were going to be spicy.
Me too.
But they're all like professional.
You made them kind of spicy.
No, I didn't. I was just thinking that they were going to ask. I thought they were going to ask, like, you know, how does Lucas keep his curls so awesome?
Curly? Hmm. How do you trim the beard or something?
I don't know. Or who, you know, where does Lucas buy his clothing? Because he's always like so key, you know, cheeky.
Mm. No, nobody cares.
But nobody cared about anything. And but what was really revealing was that there's a lot of young people that follow us, and really scary because I was aiming for like people like us that were
mid-career and jaded.
Yes. And that essentially are seeking comfort in
basically
mal de muchos, consuelo de tontos. Exacto. Right. So we were looking for all these people that kind of like an AA meeting, right? I am a mid-career vascular surgeon. My name is Miguel. Thanks for your help. Anyway, but there's a lot of medical students, like lots of medical student questions.
That's scary.
I think you got the wrong pod. But anyway, what made it fun?
Yeah.
We even talked about fasciotomies. So if you care to just learn what questions came our way, it was a potpourri of everything, and I thought we had fun and give you our honest answers.
All right, well, vamos.
Two vascular surgeons walk into a bar and come out with a podcast. We are talking everything vascular and not. Welcome to the Life of Flow podcast.
Hi, Miguel. First question. I'm starting to question my entire career path as a surgeon.
Welcome Please to help. My life.
Okay. Let's start a support group. Let's start a WhatsApp group.
You and the other 10,000 physicians out there.
Yeah.
What can I say? I wake up every day and I think about that. Very profound question. I hope that you question your career path every day. I don't think that I have a right answer, but I can tell you that it'll help you figure out what's not necessarily right. Do you remember our conversation with
Karen?
Yes, thank you. Karen said, a lot of people come to me seeking a change in career paths, and then they realize that all they needed to do is find a different hospital, right?
Maybe a different group. Or
maybe a culture wasn't right. Yeah. Something wasn't right. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're not on the wrong path. And there's a ton of amazing, beautiful things that we realized that day that physicians are really, really good at that help them pivot to other careers where you could be very successful. Yeah. Resilience, organization, depth of knowledge, problem solving. All these things help you pivot.
Yeah.
So just, I guess, don't stick to what's not working for you and be very in tune with your own body.
Yeah, I would say have an open mind and be curious. And I mean, we just had a conversation a little while ago about, you know, IV spas, med spas. There's tons of things that you have a ton of knowledge on that you can dive into. And then at some point, you'll find something that feels good to you.
Yeah. Meditate.
Meditate.
Talk to yourself.
Yes.
You remember our conversation with Christensen?
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's true.
Like, for really, sure. Like, just be in tune with your own self, right? Yeah. Be in the silence and in the moment and try to listen to what your body's telling you. Because there's all these other, like, there's, a weird allergy, a sleeping impairment, a not feeling comfortable, you know, weight gain or weight loss. Like, there's all these little things that happen that when you're consumed by life and work, you don't pay attention. But your body is screaming for help.
Mm-hmm.
Help it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Next question. resident here, pros and cons on private versus academia. You're going to love this question. And go start cursing now.
No. I actually think that they're both awesome.
Yeah.
I've jumped from one side to the aisle multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you started as hospital employed.
I've worked in different places in the world, but let's say in the US,
yeah.
I finished training and I joined a private practice group.
A private practice. Okay. Yep.
And then from there, I jumped to academia.
Okay.
And then from academia, I jumped back to private. So you know what? Pros and cons.
All right. What are they? Pros and cons.
In private practice, you are in a very competitive market. You need to create differentiation. You need to fight systems. You need to get to the source of the referrals. You need to build, you need to invest in business development. And you are essentially holding the entire operation on your shoulders. It's extreme responsibility. Lives of people and their families are hinging on your success. You are not only a doctor, you are a business person. You are a revenue cycle management specialist. You are a business development specialist. You are a front desk person. You need to essentially know what everybody does. And it is very, very intense. But you can make your own will. You can direct the way you want. You can create your own culture. You hire and fire the people that you want to have around you. You surround yourselves with the best in class. You grow it and you make it. It's your baby. It's your ability to embody your entrepreneur side. You will probably get, you know, if you do it right, you're going to be financially very well off, and you can manage your time and allow yourself to be at home with the people you love, potentially a little bit more. Although I know a lot of private guys that just work their asses off. So that doesn't necessarily always align. So you always have to be careful with not letting that get too crazy. But it is, very involved in that sense.
My two cents on it is that given all that, it's difficult when you come out to concentrate on everything and, you know, perfecting your skills, that which is what you're going to be doing in the first 2 years. So I think the pro of academia, sometimes, not always, is that if you get a very supportive boss, I was lucky enough to have one, that will allow you to grow and to develop a niche, then you kind of get that out of the way in those first 2 years. And if you want to jump into private practice, having a really sharp set of tools for yourself, then you don't really have to worry about performing technically and you can concentrate on the business and everything else. My 2 cents. But I mean, I've always been in academia, so I don't know shit.
No, what you said is really, really important. And quite frankly, you can get it either where, right? Either or. There are some big private practices that essentially act as almost like an academic. And there's private people that are in academia. Like there's a lot. Find a job with a good boss and people that are willing to help you through your first 2 years that are very, very formational. You are going to learn a lot about yourself and about the way that you like to care of your patients. So wherever you have the time to focus on that, that's where I would go.
Yeah,
I wouldn't go into solo private practice off the top because I think you're going to be pulled in many directions and you still don't know who you are.
Unless you're Jerry.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Jerry's an old soul. I think Jerry's been around.
He's a machine.
I think he's been around the solar system so many times in many different ways.
He's bored of it.
It wouldn't be weird. Like, it wouldn't be weird if he was like Genghis Khan or something like at some point in the past, right? Like, there's just people that have that capacity. Right. No, I'm not.
Yeah. And if you want to do research, you don't need to be in academia to do research. There are plenty of people doing clinical research.
Very active research group
in private. So that's a fallacy. Okay, cool.
No right or wrong answer, period.
Yeah. Next. So we basically gave you no good answer.
Yep. Bye.
All right, perfect.
Bye.
Good. Miguel, how has fatherhood impacted how you show up to work every day?
Tremendously. I've said it before at some point, but this is a summary. I lived an incredibly selfish life. It was about me, about my goals, about my happiness, about my self-fulfillment, about my power, about, you know, what I could accomplish, about how much I could accomplish, about how fast I could accomplish it. Very self-serving, very narcissistic. And the day that you have that incredibly beautiful, frail, weak individual in your hands, all of that washes away like the tide of an ocean. And you immediately work for somebody else. And none of what you thought mattered matters anymore. It's about him, her, them, and not about you.
All right, so go out there and get some babies, people.
I definitely would be. I would support that. I would support that. Please be responsible.
It's like you and Elon are going to populate the world.
Well, Elon seems to have been having a lot more.
Yeah, Elon discovered that
callous babies
a lot. You know, before.
But
you
then
did.
Again, is it? Yeah, it's callous. Yeah, it's callous. I was about to say something dumb. Anyways. I was like, is it callous if you have all the money? Yeah, because at the end of the day, you really want a relationship with them. It's having babies is, come on, it's easy. It's a 30-second thing, right?
Yeah, ask Elon.
It's developing them and making them into good humans, which I think is a beautiful opportunity. Is the world needs better humans overall. And I think that we're in a very blessed and strategic position to create good human beings that can shape the world to be a better place. And so do it. That would be probably the only self-serving thing.
That's the advice. Do it.
Yeah, the advice is just do it. And there's no good or bad time, by the way. Yeah. Like, do it in the middle of residency. Do it after residency. Do it. I'm going to be the old dad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be at the games and I'm going to be just old.
Yeah.
And there's perks for that. That could be another question if anybody asks it. But there's also perks of being young, getting it over with, and then you get your life back, quote, you know, once they leave the nest, and then you still have a lot of energy in you to do a lot of things. So anyway, there's...
Yeah. No right or wrong.
I kind of like the old dad thing.
Yeah.
It suits me. I was in no good place to be a dad in my 20s.
Oh my God, that would have been a disaster.
Yeah, 100%.
Speaking for myself.
And 20s or 30s, bro.
Or like early 40s.
Yeah.
All right, Miguel. Now that you're eating string cheese. Next question.
String cheese is, I think, people
underrated?
Don't realize how good string cheese is.
I disagree with that statement.
You don't like
wholeheartedly. String?
You no, don't like
I don't.
String cheese.
I don't like string cheese.
Do you like
Why
cheese
is it
overall?
Stringy? Do you know any good cheese? Have you ever been to a good cheese store and they have string cheese?
It's called H-E-B. String cheese by H-E-B is phenomenal. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, that's where we differ, Miguel.
Yeah, because you like to overpay for everything.
Maybe I just like to
like
eat,
if you're like if
maybe oh, I like to
this
eat, put
place
good
looks
stuff
so delicious.
In my yeah,
and this cheese is 100% more expensive. It's got to be better, but it's not.
Okay. Well, we'll figure this out in like 20 years.
What's going to happen?
Well, we're going to see.
Is it like, we'll see if like Swiss cheese beats string cheese in 20 years?
No, we'll see like the effect. Like who's doing better?
Oh, are you trying to, our like health?
Yeah.
Oh, you're on.
You're on one?
Okay. Yeah, I'm Costa Rican.
You're losing right now, bro.
No, I'm Costa Rican.
Okay.
We live forever.
Yeah, when you live in Costa Rica.
No, it's genetic.
No, not when you live it's in genetic. Houston, Texas.
It's genetic.
Yeah, well, we'll see how strong those genes are.
All right.
Okay,
you want some string cheese?
I don't. Okay. All right, I'm having trouble with the office politics portion of my job. It feels like I'm spending so much energy on learning these unwritten social rules of the workplace. Help. I'm going to jump on that. Well, you can take my approach and be horrible at it. And then kind of play dumb and be oblivious.
I think you don't have to do that. You know, that I think that's just a human construct. It doesn't matter where you go. There's always going to be dynamics. And I don't think that you need to live for the dynamics. But I think that you have to try to apply emotional intelligence and do the best of your abilities without consuming it. Just learn the dynamics. I think a good rule of thumb is for the first 90 days in any new position, in any new environment, in any new hospital, just be very quiet. Keep to yourself. And be, you know, just be the fly on the wall. You know, without being awkward, of course, right? Like, just not, you can't be a monk.
Is that advice you follow?
It's from the Harvard Business School. It's called The First 90 Days.
Okay.
I would advise everybody to read that book.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't follow it.
Yeah, but, it doesn't seem like it.
But it's, I read it and I thought it was good advice. It's just keep your eyes and ears very open. Read the room. Understand the dynamics and the relationships that people have. And then slowly try to bring yourself into the picture and understand what that role may be.
Yeah. Do you think there's any difference in the type of practice model you're working in? Be it hospital employed, private practice, or academia, one's worse than the other? Seems like they're all be the same.
They're all the same.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
There's idiots everywhere.
Either resign to being horrible at it or stay quiet and have a silent retreat for 90 days. That's great advice. All right. How do I become a guest on the Life of Flow
podcast? I can't believe you think I'm unhealthy. That like still resonates. Like, what are you talking about? Why am I unhealthy? There's nothing unhealthy in me, Mike. I'll show you my cholesterol.
Coconut frappa mochaccino with extra caramel. And
I had that once.
5:30 a.m.
I had that once.
I've seen you like gulp 20 ounces of that multiple times.
Once.
Okay.
Well, for like a year, I did it every day.
Well, there you go. That catches up to you. All right. Next question. How do I become a guest on the Life of Flow podcast?
It's impossible. You just have to be
so difficult.
You just have to be very, very, very badass or con the right day when we have nobody on. And then the bar just drops very fast.
It fluctuates a lot. It fluctuates. Like one day you're like, oh, like, yeah, we're going to interview all these people. The other day it's like, oh, shit. What, like, who are we going to talk to? So, yeah, just, you know, reach out on LinkedIn or something, or X.
Reach
or
out
something.
To any of us. Yeah. I mean, the real answer is, we, as you know, talk to anything and everything.
Yes.
And so it really, we'd love to talk to you, whatever you do.
Yeah.
No, for real.
Yeah.
Anything.
Whatever.
If here's the deal, if you think what you do is cool, we want to talk to you. Does that sound like a?
That sounds like a.
That's the bar.
That sounds like the only right answer we've given
that
today.
What you do is cool and is noteworthy, and it would be something that would allow for a good conversation that the world can take something from it. I would like you to email me or reach out by Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. Unless you're the guy that said that the bearded dude talks too much.
Then I want to
interview you. Then I don't want to interview
you. Then you will be our special guest.
Whoever that hater
was. You will be our
was,
co-host for multiple episodes.
That guy
as
can
long as
suck
you
it.
Give me
he can suck it.
You give Miguel some shit.
And like he has
You're welcome.
Wait a minute. The other thing is like, why did we somehow, you have a beard too. Why did we decide I was a bearded guy that talks too much?
Because you are the bearded guy that talks too much. I mean, that's obvious. That's self-explanatory. All right, let's move on. All right. Megan and Lucas, you both often speak at conferences, are on panels, etc. Any tips for getting speaking gigs on and on stage opportunities? I kind of like drunkenly walked my way into that one. You know, I have no clear strategy besides just trying to be friendly and doing the, having an, you know, the niche of DVA got me on some podiums. So I really have no great strategy. Miguel, you do it more than I do. How about you?
I think there's different podiums. I think that what you need to strive for is to have a very balanced perspective. What I mean with that is you want to be invited to speak to things that you have discovered or researched, that you're very knowledgeable at. And you may also want to balance that with some of the industry-sponsored engagements.
Mm-hmm.
Some people you will only find on an industry engagement, which doesn't necessarily mean that there's anything wrong with that. I think it's nice to have a balanced approach where you can always be very true to yourself. Also, I don't agree with those that believe that an industry sponsor engagement is ludicrous and or laughable and or useless. I don't agree with that. I think that the relationship with industry is one that should be prioritized, that is to be balanced and healthy, and it leads to development of devices, techniques that help people. So I love having a very just balanced approach to that. So in order for you to get the recognition you may need in order to get into the scientific agenda, then you have to probably produce science. And so I think that there are a lot of opportunities as a trainee to get yourself and your name out there. All right. Abstracts,
yeah.
Presentations, small presentations. There are meetings that are geared to trainees. And I think people that excel in that level tends to be the same people that eventually make it to the podiums. You start differentiating yourself at a very young age, and then you, you kind of like take a step at a, kind of crawl up the podium path, if you may. And I do think that having really good mentors is also very critical, because a lot of the mentors are the ones that help you up, right? That they'll say, listen, I'm not available, but I think this person should be invited on my behalf. They're phenomenal. They're young. They know a lot. And that happens a lot. And of course, some of us seniors are on the scientific committees, so we are the ones putting the names on the agenda. And so if you have a relationship with people that you know are on those, reach out and say, you know, I'm very interested. I've done some work. And sometimes you just don't know. And you would be surprised how welcoming people are going to be to talent and to new ideas. Because this happens to me with Endolat every year, where I'm sometimes like, man, this is stale. It's essentially the same topics, the same people. So I love when somebody randomly says, hey, I'm in somewhere in Argentina and I have done like 500, I don't know, transpositions, and I've came up with a new technique and I want to show it. I love that. Set yourself apart from people, write to the scientific steering committee and prop yourself up, give yourself the opportunity to be seen.
Oh, that was a really good and thoughtful answer.
Thank you. Huh. Well, and then also level up on LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
Go back to,
go back to
our show with, the talented and amazing Courtney Johnson, and listen to that, because I think you should definitely have a very professional LinkedIn that'll help you exponentially get opportunities.
I agree. Hey guys, this is Miguel and Lucas, and we wanted to talk to you about a super interesting project.
Name of this project is Amputation Nation. It's going to be a 6-part documentary series, and we definitely want you to look at it, watch it, digest it, support it.
So visit amputationnation.org to support and give love to these people that are doing a great job.
Without a doubt, we're underdiagnosing peripheral arterial disease. It has not gotten the attention that it should.
Every 4 minutes, there is an amputation in this country due to PAD and diabetes. We also know that 85% of these amputations are preventable.
There is good care available here. Closed minds are what we have to get rid of.
Right. Next question. I don't want to only be reliant on my hospital income, and I want to start diversifying my income. Any tactical tips on where to start? Any side hustle ideas for surgeons that don't want that don't take too much time?
Are you going to start?
All right, I'll start. I have an Airbnb, and it's worked out pretty well. So it takes time and effort to get it up and running. It takes a lot of upfront work to get systems going. But once it does, it's pretty much hands-off. You can hire a management company, but they take about 20%.
20%.
Jesus. So that's a big chunk of change. You just have to run the numbers. There's multiple masterminds, like multiple courses. Well, long-term rental does. So that's another one. So I also had long-term rentals before. Management companies for those take 7%. I would say for long-term rentals, the equation totally makes sense. That's a more long-term equity play, more than a cash flow play. So both rentals are easy ways to start, I would say. It's pretty, numbers-wise, you just have to find a good deal. Then there is, you can always do locums. But that takes a lot of your time. Obviously, you have to go for a week or a weekend.
That wouldn't be a side hustle. Well, I guess so, right?
Yeah.
You could do it as a
side. I think that's diversifying your income.
Are there a lot of locums nowadays for vascular surgery?
Yeah. Yeah. Get your IMLC license. It's pretty easy.
What does that mean?
It's a license that allows you to practice in about 35 states without applying for individual license for each state. So if you're one of the qualifying states, you can apply for it, and then you can just apply for jobs.
Is it easy?
Yeah, it's very easy.
No way.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
Yeah. And then there are kind of more actively involved ways in which you can try to make some money on the side. You can be an expert witness, which I haven't really dug into, but some of our colleagues do. So I can't really have much of an opinion on that.
I hate lawyers. Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah. But that's an option.
I hate being deposed.
Yeah.
Have you ever been deposed?
No, I've never been deposed.
So it's a very weird thing.
Yeah. And then you can do consulting for medical device companies.
That one you got me involved with sucks.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
But you have to experiment.
What's it called?
GLG.
Yeah.
All right, they'll never sponsor this podcast ever.
That's an easy one. GLG, like, yeah. They throw, like, the dumbest things, and it takes a lot of time.
Some of the things are interesting. And, the more you do...
Yeah, but then they pay you with these, like, virtual credit cards.
They directly deposit to your bank account.
I got a virtual credit card that was a pain in the ass to cash.
That's because you're...
I'm not cool enough.
Yeah, you're not cool enough.
String cheese. I know.
They know about your profile. What type of cheese?
No wonder they asked for my cholesterol level. Yeah. That was very weird.
And then you can do, and you can talk about other things. You've done a bunch of things.
Well, I mean, you could be an entrepreneur and do all sorts of business.
Yeah.
Right. Spas, IV drips. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
Stock investments, crypto.
Yeah, but that's not side hustle. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah, true.
You can, and I've had some friends that are looking into this. You can buy businesses. So all the boomers and are retiring, all of them that started businesses like roofing companies, laundromats, all that stuff, they're selling them. Uh-huh. And they sell them for relatively cheap. Like you can get them for like 20, 30, 40 grand, and you can buy a whole business that cash flows. And you can get a small business loan. But again, I don't know much about that. I have some friends that are looking into that.
And I believe there's like, aren't there dedicated web pages where dedicated you can web go pages and look at businesses that are seeking for liquidation event?
Yeah, and there are courses on how to do this too. Mm. Which are, you know, these are interesting things.
Can we talk to somebody about this?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we can.
Let's get somebody next time.
All right, let's put on the agenda. What else?
I don't know, man. That's all I got for you.
That's all I got. I think that's all I got too. Cool. Let's move along. All right. This seems from like a trainee. Okay. Are preventative leg fasciotomies...
Are you recording on both? Yeah. Okay.
Are preventative leg fasciotomies standard practice?
Preventative?
Yeah. I have an odd question. Is it considered standard practice to... preemptively perform dual leg fasciotomies to prevent compartment syndrome, or do you only treat it? Thank you.
Maybe I understand this question.
Yeah.
If a patient comes in a profound state of ischemia,
yeah,
and I do a successful revascularization,
yeah,
I will always do a fasciotomy. And when I say profound, I'm talking about, you know, extensive amount of time, mm-hmm. motor compromise, sensory compromise.
Yeah.
And it goes from 0 to 100 after your procedure.
Yeah.
I am doing it.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than having to come later and do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse for the patient mm-hmm. to having to go through that. You're adding another anesthesia, you're adding another case, you're adding potential renal complications.
Missing it. You can miss it.
Well, that would be the worst.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, what if you do it and then you come back, let's say the next day, and it's all nice and soft?
Then you close it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only bad thing is if you bag the nerve and get them foot drop.
What do you mean if you bag the nerve?
If you go in the lateral fasciotomy, you bag the nerve.
Why would you do that?
Because that's a described complication.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do something wrong, it's going to go wrong, right? Like, I mean, yes, of course.
Okay. It's described in the books, bro. So you know about it. But yeah, I agree. I mean,
tell me other things that if you think about it, you just do it.
Chest tube, when I did chest tubes.
Drain,
man, I go back and forth on drain so much. Sometimes I'm like, I put it in like very like not thinking about it too much.
If you think about it,
yeah.
You put it.
Yeah.
There, you know, if there's a thought, because here's the problem.
Yeah.
What can go wrong? You just take it out the next day.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I should do a fasciotomy. Just do it. Nike.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing that could happen is you just close it up.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I should put a chest tube. Just put it.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing is, just close it up.
Kind
of like a seatbelt.
Take them to the... If I think about it, I take them to the OR. For like... Especially for...
What?
Meaning, in general, as a generalized concept. If somebody comes in, especially with like ischemia that is concerning, that I have a doubt in my mind, can this wait until tomorrow? Can I put on heparin and just do it tomorrow? Or should I do it now at 2 a.m.? If I have those thoughts, I tend to gravitate toward just doing it.
Do it.
Yeah.
Seatbelt.
Injury? Or putting it on?
No, if you're thinking of, should I wear a seatbelt? Yes or no. Chances are you need it, dumbass. Right? Some things in life...
That's the law to wear it.
Well, yeah, but like it's just an example of like things. All right, let me give you another one. A condom.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Like, man, I don't know if I should be using a condom today. Well, if you're thinking about it, you probably need it.
Yeah.
So just do it.
Yeah.
You know, certain things in life, you just
There you go. Family friendly show.
No, just think about it. Next time, if you think about it, just do it.
Yeah. All right. No, you get the questions.
All right. I'm glad I'm done with my string cheese. All right. Was this, did you do this?
It's a question. You read it and I answer it.
Okay. All right. Here's a question. I've gone through three different handheld. Can I like make voices?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty, I'm going to try to make some accents.
How, you know, what's
gonna,
the accent
I'm
going to
do
person?
Accents.
Okay, cool.
And Let's then go. You have to also guess where this person's from.
Okay.
I've gone through three different handheld Dopplers. Three different brands and models. I shit you not. They have all died in less than a year. Any reference?
This colleague is from Lufkin, Texas.
I reckon you're onto something here.
And they're asking about handheld Dopplers. Which one's better?
Essentially.
They all suck.
They're so bad.
They all suck.
They're so bad.
It's like, can Google make a freaking Doppler?
I'm here are my million
Can Apple
dollar.
Make one?
Here are my $1 million.
Ideas
that are going to just rock.
Revolutionize the world. Yeah.
Totally. I will make a Doppler. Catch this. This is going to be crazy. Okay, are you ready? That the volume knob actually goes high.
Oh, you think they're not? Sometimes they're extremely high. They're like, I don't need that much.
I understand, but sometimes it's just extremely low.
Yeah.
So this thing.
I love playing Doppler roulette in the OR where like, you don't know if the Doppler's not working, if the actual probe's not working, or the actual box is not working. And then you have to do like a mix and match of like getting a new box and a new Doppler. And then sometimes nothing works. And then you go back to the previous one, you connect it, say, fuck it, try it again. And then it works. And you're like completely confused.
Can I say something?
I had a nurse.
Can you tell the audience, like, please, if you know anyone, please, if you're seeing this on social media, put in the comments what you're using. We need help. Something to like instigate the these companies wanting to like give you free Doppler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So are we
keep going. Maybe saying something along those lines.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please give us your
okay, so just cut that and then put this in. Yeah, if there's any good companies out there that have Dopplers, reach out to us, send us a sample. We'll test it if it's good.
We'll do a YouTube review.
I will.
Should we do ASMR videos about Dopplers? Do you know what ASMR videos are?
SMR?
ASMR. Where you just like the unboxing videos and it's just like, just the crinkle of the paper and stuff, the paper and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently kids have become billionaires by opening toys.
Yeah,
right?
We will do that with Dopplers.
Yeah. And then the other thing is like they have one on the floor. Like per floor.
And that's like
you can never find it. And this nurse got really offended once that I was like, y'all should just treat it like the keys at a gas station, right?
Yeah, just give your license.
No, there's a massive rim of something. Yeah, like there's obviously this would be just be a sort of like I was like a, stick of something massive.
Like a 2x4.
Yeah, like just some ridiculous stupid thing that you just like somebody's like, oh, that guy's going to Doppler signals. And he's just pulling this whole thing. So nobody would ever steal it.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you have any good stories of how people have actually protected them from being stolen, share it on the comments.
Yeah, that's also,
Because some of the things that I've seen, some of the contractions, like sometimes they're like stuck on a tripod and like you could just like pull it from the top. So you're like, why did they do all this whole thing? But it doesn't make any sense. Okay, next question.
Okay.
I'm trying to do something cool, like throw it and it just comes back.
Okay, stop
what am I
it.
Doing? Look, it just comes back. Okay. It's a boomerang question.
Okay.
I can't. There you go. Okay, go.
All right.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
I'm not answering that, where that's from.
On Tambe for aortic aneurysms. Any experiences?
Okay, we're getting canceled.
With
here.
It.
Oh my God.
What are your thoughts on Tambe Foiled aneurysms.
Okay, this person is also from Lufkin, Texas.
Experiences with it. I am trying to embody the doctors that doctors of multiple races and places in the world. Like, why are you, you're laughing at the fact that there is multiple people out there that have different
for our samurai.
Yes. What? What do you believe?
Oh my God! What's the question?
What are your thoughts on Tommy?
Oh.
Aortic aneurysms and experiences with it.
I think Cook's in trouble. That's what I think. I think, yeah, they're going to take it. It seems pretty not straightforward, but not overly difficult. Saying that, I haven't even done one. But I've some of my colleagues here have, and they have had good results, and they were done pretty quickly. And Bernardino said, you know what Bernardino said? I'm going to try to do my best, Bernardino.
Ooh, Bernardino impression.
This is so easy. It's stupid.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
You don't care about your aortas. You're like...
No, no. And I'll just say... The best white wine is a shit-ass red wine. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Break that down for me.
Like, there's
the best solution is still a shitty solution.
No. There is no comparison between reds and whites. Reds are exuberant and complex and beautiful, and there's much more art into it. And then wines that are white are like meh. And so the best wine, the best white, is kind of like a shitty red, right? Like, it's just, that's the level of it.
Okay.
CLI operators are red wine. Aortic operators
are white. Oh my God, wine. He has such a chip on your shoulder. Next.
All right. This one's for Lucas. It says, one's for Lucas. What ejection fraction is too low for hemodialysis access? I saw a patient today with an ejection fraction of 10 to 15% being worked up by EP for an ICD placement, referred to us by nephrology for access. This is the wrong podcast for that question. That is like such a smart question. Get out of here. Go to another podcast. That's not us.
Yeah. The answer is like 25.
Smart people. Internal medicine people getting into this podcast. Somebody should stop. Our production should stop. There should be a button saying if you're a family medicine or interested in nephrology, you should probably not. You know, like
you're not going to get like much. You're not going to get much.
You know, the porn sites that is if you're not 18 or Jesus over, you can't Christ. Go in. Click here. There should be a little thing that should just prevent people from coming.
Okay. Going off script.
M3 here. What does M3 mean? Oh, medical student MS3. From a third year.
Yeah.
MS3.
Okay.
MS3
don't
here.
Don't shatter any dreams, okay?
Torn between vascular surgery versus emergency medicine.
If you're thinking about it, don't do it. Meaning, if you're in between surgery and something else, do something else. It should be an outbreak. Oh,
like if you don't.
If there is a question, don't do it. Don't do surgery.
We don't want you.
Not saying that.
That's what you just said.
No.
That is so mean. No.
No, listen, that's not what I
whoever
said.
Whoever you are, let me get that camera shot. Bring it in real close. We want you in vascular surgery. Vascular surgery is amazing. It allows for very different and unique lifestyles. You should become a vascular surgeon. It's better. There's locums. You can do shift work like emergency department. And, you know, ED guys are...
Yeah, but it's rough.
ED guys are just...
It's a lot more years. ED is like 3 years.
They're just paper pushes. Canceled.
Stop it.
Okay. JK.
Okay.
They're amazing. I'm not sure I can give you a good answer.
Yeah.
First month of an intern year is... let me start that again. The first month of intern year is on vascular surgery. What do I need to do and to know to not piss off my attending and my senior resident? Well, if you are Adele, good luck, because you're going to piss off Lucas regardless of what you do.
That's not true.
Dude, you are such a douche. Everybody that knows you tells me that, which is really funny because you somehow would try to make me the bad person, but you are the bad person. Maybe I eat wrong, but I'm a good person at soul. My soul is good. I am not an asshole. Okay?
I'm just trying to make
I may die
tough.
Before you.
Yeah.
But it's, people will go to my, you know, thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
There'll be people there. People will cry.
Yeah. All right. I need to work on myself then. I would say my advice would be, if you are an intern, try to mimic what the second years are doing. Try to mimic what people one level above you are doing and do that. And thus you'll always be one step ahead.
Just work your ass off.
Yeah, there you go.
Just work your ass off.
Get in early, leave late.
Get earlier than everybody.
Well, that's later that, than we're not allowed to say that anymore. That's why? Against the rules. Hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not part of any academic program. So
no, you say
you want to shine and you want to be better than everybody else, then outwork them. Outwork them. Yeah. That's it. You'll have time to study later. I mean, you know, focus on the app side and all that stuff that you gotta, but outwork everybody. Write stuff down. You are not the waiter at some fancy ass restaurant that tries to impress everybody by keeping an order of 10 people up in their head. I hate that. Mm-hmm. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. Do you ever go home and you're like in the car and you're talking to your beautiful girlfriend and you're like, man, that guy was so amazing. Did you see how he took our order without even writing it?
Never. Or always, I don't know.
You've never, ever, nobody ever in the history of life has ever turned around and been like, that is one smart waiter. He did not take a note. But they pride themselves somehow in this.
Are you making this up?
No, I am just saying it gives me a thing that they don't write the damn order. Because if you're like, listen, no onions, you know, medium well, yada, 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 yada. And then they just nod and go on to the next person. I was like, write the damn thing down. There's no points for being cool like with not writing it. All to say, interns are the same. Don't nod. Write it down. Don't forget. Make a checklist. The checklist. That book will change your life. Mm-mm. You have to work with checklists. Little boxes.
I agree with that.
And every single minute, you're looking back at your boxes, seeing what's missing. Check, 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 check. Check your boxes before you leave. Check it in the morning. Keep your notes. Keep your notes organized. Don't nod. Write it down.
Okay.
Next. Hi, I'm a young vascular surgeon. Our strategist has issues writing. Hi, I'm a young vascular surgery from Poland. Okay, I'm a young vascular surgery from Poland.
Can you do this accent?
From Poland. Like, oh God, I don't know how to.
I don't know either.
It's like you could do a German accent.
You can do it.
I don't know that I can do a German.
You lived in Germany.
I am a young vascular surgery from Poland. No, I can't.
Okay, keep going.
I'm curious what consensus on bowel prep before AAA or aortic bifemoral bypasses. I just can't find any underlined relevant papers on this topic. Lucas, what do you do with the poopy?
I don't think about it. I don't bowel prep. Do you bowel prep?
A patient or myself? I think it's always really smart to poop before a long case.
Yeah, that's true.
So whatever... Whatever you can do to get your bowels prepped ahead of the case are really important. So don't skip your coffee routine on a day long case. You know, make
that's
sure
that's not the question.
Are you sure? No, I agree. There's no consensus. I don't.
I would suggest don't get into the bowel.
Yeah. don't get into the bowel. Oh, do I need this for something? No. Okay. Hey, I'm a rad tech. Man, what? We have so many people that I never thought would follow us. So this is pretty cool. Hey, I'm a rad tech here who is interested in specials. Specials.
Yeah, like
happy endings.
No, stop it. Like cath lab, working with neuro, working with IR, working with cardiology. Oh,
like specialties? Yeah. Is that like that's what they call it?
That's what they call it.
Okay. I'm interested in specials, cath lab, plus the broad world of vascular imaging and interventions. Curious to know what software options are out there for planning endocases.
Terra Recon Osiris.
I use Horos. Horos. It's the free version of Osiris.
Okay. Because
Osiris got FDA approval.
Mm.
And so then now they charge. And so if you... But they have like this whole kind of non-for-profit thing that developed it. So kind of like OpenAI.
Mm-hmm.
How it was open. But then there's this kind of side that now is a profitable. That's what Oros, Horos, and
Osiris
are.
Okay. There you go.
I think some people use Threemensio too, right? Isn't that like another one? Yeah,
the reps use Threemensio a lot.
Some of the companies use Threemensio, right? Okay. Okay.
Next.
Okay, this one is from... Okay. Why is Lucas always so arrogant and Miguel so nice? Do you want to take that one or... What?
I think I'm misunderstood.
I had to translate because it was in Spanish.
Yeah.
It was from a guy in Puerto Rico. ¿Por qué Lucas es tan arrogante y Miguel tan buena persona? Tan pura vida.
Yeah. The only thing I can make fun of Costa Rica is that they don't know how to cook a steak. They always do it well done.
That's not true. That's if you go to a small little place in the middle of nowhere. All right. How many of these are we doing?
I don't know. We're done.
Okay. This is the last one. Okay. I want to start some sort of business, but I feel dumb and stupid because I am in my 40s. Lucas, did you say
I'm asking you that.
Lucas. Yeah. Lucas is so nice that he sent his picture, his little question in here. Okay. So I am in my 40s and with zero business knowledge. Where do I even start learning about business? I would say audiobooks, podcasts, YouTube. And I think there's a lot of stuff that you could go to. Like there's summits and training courses. This mastermind thing that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of resources.
Yeah, just start somewhere. I mean, I think start with something like, again, like real estate, like a long-term rental, short-term rental. Keep some books around it. You know, work with your CPA. Learn the tax strategies around it. And that will, I guess, give you a little taste of it.
It's also mine. Is it me or is it am I wrong in saying this that most entrepreneurs really like to talk about how cool they are at what they do? Don't you think that? Have you not followed that? Like most entrepreneurs are like really, really happy and ready to talk about how they became successful.
Well, we talk.
No?
Well, we're not successful and we talk about shit.
You know, well, we're not successful. So I'm not saying no, but
most
people that have found success are willing to talk about their journey. They're very proud of their journey. They're not necessarily, it's not like they're guarding like the secret.
I think a lot of people that,
you know,
do it want to share and have other people do it with them because they're really happy. I don't know. Because they think it's a good way forward.
Well, I think it's self-serving.
I think it's
been probably very hard.
Yeah.
They've gone through, they've eaten shit. They've been broke. And then they've made a lot of money. And so they're in general, they're very alpha. They're very proud of what they did. You know, they're hunters and they've figured it out. So they are, you know, potentially a little bit on the pompous side. I want to really, show off what I've been able to accomplish. But also, I think there's a genuine side to most of them, which is I was there and I would have loved if somebody helped me.
I think most people that have done it and have results are probably more altruistic than pompous and egotistical, I would say. I want to think that. I don't know if that's true, but I want to think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, what do you think? Do you know this guy on Instagram that goes around and just like randomly walks out to like very successful people and says, just straight up, and it's like, hey, what's the most money you've done in a year?
No, I don't know.
You've never followed him?
I don't have Instagram.
Have you followed? Have you seen him? No. He just goes to all... Well, of course. Yeah. But that's how it started. You know, he would just walk up to somebody that would come out of like a Lamborghini. It's like, hey, you know, based on your car, it's clear that you've pocketed some money. And I'm trying to build a pod and a social media channel that's focused on people that are successful. Would you mind if I ask you 5 questions? And like some people like were like, okay, fine. Yes. And it was like, what's the most amount of money you've done in your life? What would be your advice to somebody that's starting off? Have you ever failed? Do you believe in God? Like there's like 5 or 6 questions like in 30 seconds.
Mm.
And now it's really cool because there's like he like just every week there's like new and the stuff that comes from it is interesting. And I think at this point most of it
is pre-planned.
Yeah. Now people reach out to him and it's like, hey, I need a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
And I keep looking for him, but he doesn't look for me.
He's not, like, not looking for you. Yeah, well, when you trade up your Toyota pickup truck, he'll reach out. Yeah.
I don't know why. All right. Well, this concludes
another that was fun.
Non-productive session of Life of Flow. May the force be with you.
Bye.
And figure it out.
Two vascular surgeons walk into a bar and come out with a podcast. We are talking everything vascular and not. Welcome to the Life of Flow podcast.